Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm all the way at Friday. Where were you yesterday? Yesterday we were with the Due Time crew, and we talked about when your partner has bad hygiene, what are some of the things you can do to, you know, make this better. You know, we talked about the stinking breath. We talked about the stinky feet. We talked about, you know, just that underarm odor. Yes. And some people are really having a problem with this. So, you know, we came up with some, you know, different thoughts based on a list, you know, and talked about how to get this done the Christian way to help people move on from these problems. Well, one of the things that we definitely have to do is figure out the root of the problem. Yes. You know, if you don't figure out the root of the problem, then how can you really help anybody? How can you really help anybody if you don't get down to why these things are going on? Right? Right. You know, ask questions. You know, just kind of watch the person and see what goes on. And one of the things suggested was do laundry with them. Yes, and some of our Due Time crew members said, you know, all of the, you know, laundry detergent isn't as potent or as strong as, you know, some of the other, you know, detergent. Are you using Tide, I guess is what they're saying, or, you know, Arm and Hammer, yeah, Gain, yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. And, you know, just do laundry with them and see, you know, what's going on. Well, one of the other things was, you know, somebody said, was, you know, I packed them up a nice little kit of all the good fragrances and things like that. And I kind of throw the hint that something is wrong. Well, that's a thought. That's a thought, you know, kind of go that indirect way. But one of the things that we also talked about was, you know, there's something that says don't nag the individual about it. And you know, nag is subjective to who is saying, don't nag me. You know, everybody says, well, you know what? I ain't got to say nothing else to you. I didn't had this conversation. I was fair. I brought it to your attention. Now you just stop going places with me. Yeah, I'm going to stop inviting you. So I guess if your partner stops inviting you to things, man, you better start smelling that body. Or ask, do I smell? Yeah, because that just might be the reason why they're not inviting you out anymore. Yeah. So that was a really good conversation. Really good conversation going on yesterday. Well, we could not finish a Monday without the switch tip with Shantice. And yesterday's switch tip, make sure you're a good friend. And, you know, let's go back. Let's go back to what we were just talking about. You know, what would a good friend do? What a good friend. Would a good friend, you know, approach it in a manner, you know, where they're insulting, direct, you know, gentle and mindful of the fact that, you know, you could have some hygiene issues and you can't smell, you know, what everybody else smells. And, yeah, you know, make sure you're a good friend. Are you loving, period? You know, can you be counted on in the crunch time? You know, what's going on? What's going on with you as a friend? You know, can people call you and talk to you at any given moment? Yeah, something to think about. Something to think about. Yes. So, you know, you want to take the time and get to know, you know, the individual. And once you get to know them, then start that friendship, but make sure that at the end of the day, they're not just a good friend to you, that you're a good friend to them. Okay? All righty. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday. And can I tell you something? For a Let's Talk About It Tuesday, I only got one story. One story that I really want to talk about today. I got stories, but I want some juicy stuff to talk about. So, listen, what have you heard about? What have you heard? Send me your stories. 347-285-7777. Hit Shantice up. Let her know. You got a suggestion? Did you hear about a story that we need to be talking about? Come on. Today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday. And I got to have some juicy stuff to talk about. You know how we do. And I couldn't find anything. I mean anything. Even this morning, you know, in my last couple of minutes, I tried to look up some stuff, and I still couldn't find anything for Let's Talk About It Tuesday. I want to talk about something, and the news was kind of bland, but I know you got some stuff. Where my girl Vivian at? I know Vivian got some stuff. Yeah, just turn over one of those stories from tomorrow. Just give it to us today. You'll find something else about tomorrow. Come on, come on, Shantice. Come on, come on, come on. Find me something good to talk about. You know, Shantice sent me a story, and I want to talk about that, but I want to talk about that on another day. I want to talk about that today. I want to talk some juicy stuff. Come on. So 347-285-7777. I'm going to let my listeners suggest some things today that we talk about. Okay? All righty. So, you know, you're going to take a little break. I got something. I got something to get us jump started. So that'll give you an opportunity to do some digging. All right? So what are we talking about today? I'm open. All right? All righty. Well, get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend. You know, make sure you text or call a friend. Let them know that due time with Pastor Steph is on. And, you know, we got our pastors coming on later to get some church folk conversation going on. Hold on to your seat. We'll be right back.
Nationwide Children's Hospital has gone from a very strong regional hospital to a national leader in cancer care. I'm Dr. Randall Olszewski. I'm a pediatric oncologist at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Many families come to us at the time of their diagnosis, and their number one question is why? Why did this happen? We are learning more and more about what causes cancer. The first hurdle is to cure them, but it's a rough road for them. Most children and adolescents with cancer are going to survive their disease. We have a cancer survivorship clinic here for children who have survived their cancer and are more than 5 years off therapy. Good survivorship care really is having providers who understand not only the therapy they received, but also the side effects that that therapy can bring down the line. There's a lot of moving parts. Cancer care is complex. It involves a large team of people. It can take time, but we're learning more and more, and everyone is here really to focus on you, not just as a patient, but also as a family.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes, and this is one of the rare times where I don't have really a bunch of good news. Yeah, you know, juicy news. You know, so I'm asking you, do you have anything that you want to talk about today? Any news that you found? Huh? Come on, I don't mind doing that every once in a while. You might have been that is juicy, juicier than what I got today. Yeah, I couldn't find anything that was really juicy. Juicy. I got some news, but nothing really juicy, juicy, juicy. Okay, so let me see. Being that yesterday we talked about doing laundry with our mate, our partner, just in case they're on the smelly side, I've stumbled across a list of the worst rated liquid laundry products to avoid. Yeah. And I was like, wow, do they rate the liquid detergent? Well, I guess so. Well, So, come on, get those pens out just in case, you know, you see something on sale and you want to get it. Because my thing is, you know, if you use enough laundry detergent, it'll get you clean, your clothes clean. And if you use a combination between detergent and bleach and fabric softener and fabric sheets, yeah, you got some nice, clean looking and smelling clothes. But I didn't realize that they were using some kind of substances that are not that great, and it just might be your laundry detergent on this list. Well, one of the first things they mentioned is all. Yeah, you know, all in that blue container or blue box, 2X Ultra. That's the one that they're talking about. All 2X Ultra Stain Lifter Concentrated Liquid Laundry Detergent. Do you need me to say this again? All 2X Ultra Stain Lifter Concentrated Liquid laundry detergent, and they say there are several harmful substances found in that particular laundry detergent. Yeah. They say it includes cleaning agents, fabric brighteners, fragrances, dyes, stabilizers, and buffer. Wow. Okay. And they say the Environmental Working Group, EWG, I guess they're the people who you got to go through, like, laundry. If you have a laundry detergent, everybody's got a group. Wow, they sure know how to make it. Well, the EWG gave this brand of detergent an F because the ingredients are non-biodegradable. Wow. They say if the product gets into the ocean, it can also do some damage to the aquatic life. Wow. 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 Okay. What's next? Is the next thing or what you use? All right. Here we go. Original Fresh Ultra Purex Regular Detergent. Wow. They say even if you read the label for the ingredients in Original Fresh Ultra Purex Laundry Detergent, you won't get the full story. They say because Purex doesn't list every ingredient. No, they don't list every ingredient on the bottle, and some of these sodium polyacrylate, disodium, I can't even pronounce this stuff. I guess it would be bad if you can't even pronounce it. Disulfonate and other items, and they say these can cause skin irritation, allergies, and have negative effects on the nervous and respiratory system. Oh, my goodness. I said I didn't have nothing good to talk about this morning. Whoa. Purex. Original Ultra Purex. Now, I had no clue that we had to face laundry detergent that had, like, items that can affect the nervous and respiratory system. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, I've never heard of this. Caldrea Sandalwood Rice Flour Laundry Detergent. Well, it ain't American. No, because the other part of the, what do you call it? It's on the other side of the fence. I don't even know what side of the fence this is on, because it also has some type of language. Yeah. Well, let me read this to you again, because you're not going to believe what they're claiming. Caldrea, that's Caldrea, Sandalwood Rice Flour Laundry Detergent. They're saying not only are these bad for your overall health, but they can hurt the environment. Inhaling these toxins can lead to damage in DNA, cancer, organ failure, skin irritation, vision impairment, and much more. All of this from laundry detergent, y'all. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay, next. Sparkling Falls Woolite Everyday Laundry Detergent. Yeah, that's what it's named. That's what it's named. Okay. And they're saying, according to the EWG, Sparkling Falls Woolite Everyday Laundry Detergent is not safe for our use. It contains toxic ingredients, including formaldehyde. Now, we didn't all heard of formaldehyde. That's some kind of killer agent. You never hear formaldehyde in a good story. No. Mm-mm. That's always something that's going to kill somebody. Some triethylamine or amine and some other stuff. But, yeah, it's not safe for us to use. Okay. Ooh-wee. Are you ready Yeah, that's woolite, y'all. Woolite. And they say these harmful chemicals can lead to respiratory issues, allergies, skin irritation, and cancer. The ingredients are also not good for the environment or clothing fabric. Wow, that's good to see you again. Sparkling Falls Woolite Everyday Laundry Detergent. Remember they used to always tell us, I don't know, I'm sure I'm dating myself, and they're saying that, you know, woolite was always the best thing you use on your delicate clothes. Remember that? I remember. That's straight old school, y'all. All right, ready? Ajax 2X Ultra with Bleach Alternative. Wow. Ajax 2X Ultra Bleach. I'm sorry. Ajax 2X Ultra with Bleach Alternative. They say that contains formaldehyde, dyes, preservatives, menthol, and a lot more harmful chemicals. These toxic ingredients can lead to asthma, cancer, vision damage. And they say it's likely that this liquid detergent will get some restrictions in the near future. Wow. And they say this is one of the most popular brand what do you call that thing? Detergent. Yes. Wow, y'all. All right, ready? Next one. All right. Lavender and Vanilla Extra with Softness of Escape Softener. Extra, that with the big X, X-T-R-A. They say lavender and sweet vanilla extra detergent with Softness of Escape Softener. Did not rank well with the EWG. And they say that they have ingredients such as quaternium 15, sodium borate, and fragrance. They pose many health issues, and these issues range from cancer, allergies, reproductive, and respiratory failures. And they say these chemicals are also toxic for aquatic life. In other words, you can't throw them in the water. You can't throw them in the ocean. Oh, Draft. Who's using Draft? You know, they replaced Ivory Snow with Draft years ago. Yes. That's the one that you're supposed to be able to use for your babies. Yeah, come on. Act like you know. They say that most of the ingredients on the Draft liquid detergent are not disclosed on the label. And the EWG found toxins such as sodium borate, fragrance, enzymes, and more. And yeah, remember the Draft with the little baby on it? And look, they got the bottle with the stage one newborn on it. And they say that all of these ingredients that are in, or some of the ingredients in Draft, can cause organ failure, cancer, irritation, allergies, and respiratory issues. And since this product is advertised for newborns, parents should try to find a healthier alternative. Yeah. What happened to Ivory Snow? They don't sell it no more? Okay. All right, here we go. Tide Plus with a touch of Downy. Oh, who uses Tide and Downy? Well, you might be using Tide Plus with a touch of Downy. They say the EWG group reported that 29 of the ingredients found in Tide Plus with a touch of Downy liquid laundry detergent are a cause for concern for both health and the environment. Yeah, they got the big old orange bottle with the plus sign and Downy. April Fresh, the one that they're showing. And they say Tide doesn't list most of the harmful ingredients on the label, including enzymes and biodegradable surfactants. Wow. And they got an
hell?
Ty. Ty got an F. To my girlfriend the other day. I was talking to Katie the other day. And we were talking about how my grandmother used to use Tide in the big orange box. Does anybody else have a grandma who used to use Tide? Her clothes used to come, I mean, spanking white. Never could get my clothes that white. Oh, here we go. I asked about it. Here we go. We're talking about the laundry detergents that are toxic for us. 2X Ultra Ivory Snow Detergent. Oh, my goodness gracious. Remember now, you will always be told to use Ivory Snow. Remember? For your babies, because it's so pure. Well, the EWG gave this brand an F for its harmful chemicals. Big old white bottle Ivory Snow. It contains sodium borate, which disrupts the developmental endocrine, am I saying it right? And reproductive processes. The detergent is also toxic for the environment. Wow. Wow. Ivy Snow got an F, y'all. Oh, my goodness. Ready? I never heard of this one before. Fragrance-free Baby Ganix 3X detergent. Okay. They say it's supposed to be great for the babies. It's got a whole bunch of baby stuff on it. They say the EWG found items in this detergent that cause skin irritation, allergies, and respiratory problems. Oh, if you're using it for your baby, they say cut it out. Find something better. Can you imagine? Remember we were talking about the babies these days are just coming out with all kind of issues? Well, now you see why. We can't even trust the detergent. All right, ready? I know you heard of this one. Era. I haven't seen Era in years. Era 2X Ultra with Oxy Booster. They say if you're using that, pick a different detergent. They say some of the detrimental ingredients can lead to respiratory and reproductive issues, cancer, and so much more. And the EWG gave this a failing score. Ajax on the list again, everybody. Ajax 2X Ultra HE Original Detergent. They say it contains formaldehyde, synthetic colors, fragrances, and methanol, along with some other preservatives. And, those toxins can cause cancer and damage organs. Are y'all paying attention to this? The stuff that we're wearing. They're saying can cause cancer, organ failure, organ damage, and we're not even eating this stuff. But when it's close to your skin, rubbing on your skin, inhaling it, y'all ready? Dynamo. Ooh, who remembers Dynamo? Dynamo 2X Ultra Free and Clear Detergent. Now listen to what I just said. Ultra free and clear detergent. Wouldn't you want to use that because that's the one when you don't have the dyes and all of that? Yes. Well, formaldehyde, synthetic fragrances and colors, all of those toxic ingredients are in it, and they say can cause organ failure and cancer. And it doesn't list all the stuff on their bottle. Surprise, surprise. Oh, come on, y'all. Tide Plus with bleach alternative. Okay. Now, here's the funny part. I'm just saying. Everybody talks about using those name brand things. I really found no name brand stuff on this list. Have you noticed that? Ain't really, I think only had like two items on this whole list that we never even heard of. Tide, All, yeah, Woolite. Well, Tide Plus with Bleach Alternative, they say, is the most popular brand of laundry detergent, but it's definitely not the safest. They say it contains all kind of toxic ingredients, and the chemicals, once they become airborne, they can cause allergies, asthma, organ failure, and cancer. Okay? Now, not all Tide. Remember, they say just these ones that I'm calling out. Okay? Man, this is crazy. Ooh! Whisk! Who remembers Whisk? Whisk High Efficiency Detergent. They say, according to the EWG, Whisk High Efficiency Laundry Detergent got a big fat F because their label was too vague and unspecific with what they had in it. And they say that they were really trying not to disclose the fact that they were using chemicals that were harmful to the public. Fab! Oh my goodness! Don't y'all tell me nothing about my name and my no name brand stuff. Mm-mm. I'm going to the 99 cent powder right now, y'all. I don't see none of that up here on this list. Fab Ultra Spring Magic Detergent. Formaldehyde. Carcinogens. Yeah, all that's in there. And they say that it can trigger allergic reactions and negative effects in the respiratory system. Oh, my goodness. All right, I'm going to save the rest of this until tomorrow. I'm speechless. Oh, I did not get anything on that list that, I don't get anything on that list that came from my 99 cent store. So y'all don't talk about me no more. Okay. Well, I was asking for some juicy news because I couldn't find any really juicy news for Let's Talk About It Tuesday. So thanks to my girl, Vivian. She sent me an article, so I'm going to have to read it to you because I really don't have the scoop on this. But it says, runaway New Jersey teen told the cops that mom had stabbed her and threw bleach in her eyes. Okay. So, in East Orange, New Jersey, they had a complaint against a 44 against a mom whose daughter was 14 years old. She's a runaway who was missing for nearly a month and told the cops that the mother had been abusing her. And it says that the mom endangered the teen's welfare specifically by stabbing the victim to her shoulder, causing a laceration. And the complaint continued, noting that mom also allegedly abused the teen by spraying bleach in her eyes, pulling her brain out, striking her in the head with a frying pan, striking her with blue hangers, and striking her with a broom handle. Wow. Well, that ain't a whole big bunch of stuff that... Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, let me read that again. The young lady accused her mother of bringing bleach in her eyes, pulling her braids out, striking her in the head with a frying pan, striking her with blue hangers, and striking her with a broom handle.
Mm.
Okay. And she also said that she was hit with a Febreze can. Wow. So they say the litany of alleged abuse also included a charge that the mother blocked the child's air passages at one point, placing her knees on her neck and back, causing her to struggle to breathe, and striking her repeatedly with hands and knees. Wow. So they say when Pix first interviewed the mother, her daughter had been missing nearly 2 weeks, and mom was sobbing that the girl was a happy child who wouldn't want me to worry. Woo, baby, baby. Well, all of these allegations came up. Wow. Well, somebody reported the girl who was missing. They saw her in Harlem, and they, I guess, reported it. And the teen, who had cut off all her braids, initially said that that wasn't, you know, she wasn't the young lady. But after being questioned, she then described all the stuff that we just, you know, talked about. And, wow, they took the young lady who's 14 and the 3-year-old brother from the home all together. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Vivian. Thank you, Vivian. All right. And we got some craziness going on here. We got some craziness. I guess I'm going to talk to my due time crew. I know there's some questions, so let's say good morning to the crew before we get their question here. All righty. Because I sure ain't got no news. So I'm gonna have to do some talking. Good morning. Hold on a minute. Where's my Pastor Ed? Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. I'm okay. I understand you got some unfortunate news, so if you need to go, we definitely understand. We don't want to hold you, but thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Anything on your mind before you go?
Yes, you know, I was listening to...
What's going on?
Well, no, listening to your previews, it just stirred up, you know, one of the biggest, for me as a diabetic, one of the biggest controversies is artificial sweeteners and that whole history at the FDA. You know, you're talking about toxic, and we see how big industry just colludes with the government and they brush things over because of the money. So everything boils down to the bottom line of the dollar, and I just thought about that as you were. You know, money seems to be more important than lives or the long-term effects. So we really have to pray for our government industry and our safety. Have to become informed and be safer. But aspartame, saccharin, all those artificial sweeteners that have been killing us for years, but they've been prescribing it, you know, safer, healthier, and actually they're slowly killing us.
Absolutely. And you know, as we're talking about, Pastor Ed, the sweeteners, we're talking about all of these, all of these toxins in our laundry detergent, Woolite, Fab, Tide, all of these things that people have been running to for years, and to think that all of these products would still remain on the shelves.
FDA.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, take them off? Yes, but not to remove them. You know that this stuff is toxic, but you won't remove them off the shelves.
Money. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And so we just see their love for making money is more important than the safety of the general public. And like I said, the government is in collusion with them. because of donations and influence. So we have to become the responsible parties in our life, led by discernment and the power of the Holy Spirit to say, you know, I'm not going to do this to my body just because they say it's safe. Let me do some research and find out, you know, and you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. Listen, any of those detergents you used that was called out?
Oh, come on. You it was like you would, if it was bingo, I would be winning right now. A lot of the products you called, my grandparents used, my parents used, and we even use today. I'll be honest, two products that I always use are Tide and Gain, because I'm thinking they're superior. But Whisk and Fab, I know all those products. They were in our home, but it's true.
Yep.
I have to use Arm & Hammer. I'm afraid to go and look it up because I have a skin condition from the military. I'm service connected for. It's called dermography, and just rubbing my skin against certain clothes or whatever causes the histamine level to raise up, and so I have to take medicine on a daily basis. I've taken it for years since I came back from service in Desert Storm, and it was from some chemical that it's of an unknown origin. Congress just passed a law that we now have to go back and recognize everyone that served in the Gulf campaigns because of exposure to particulate matter and chemicals, many of unknown origin, that are causing respiratory and skin conditions. So it's crazy. So our we have to be informed. We have to be wise. We have to protect ourselves because the protectors are not protecting because of money.
Absolutely. Can you imagine Woolite on the list? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Woolite.
Yeah.
That was the one we were supposed to use for delicate clothing.
Yeah, and formaldehyde is always one of the culprits. You know, that's nothing but embalming fluid. That's what they use to preserve your body when you die.
Yeah.
So remember people were putting it on their... And the fingers and nails were splitting, and they were even smoking at one point.
Yes, I do remember that. I do remember they said that some people were smoking formaldehyde, and that's when it became apparent to some of us that that's what they were using in embalming fluid and whatever. And we were like, smoking it? Oh, my gosh, just kill me already. What are you doing?
But, you know, the key is all of these are accidentally discovered synthetic products, and that's why they harm the body, because God created the body for the natural fruits and foods that he created to work in the body. You know, so now we're introducing something else that was accidentally discovered and created, and the synthesis don't really work. You know, it's like retrofitting. We used to use the term in-rig, forgive me for using that on the air, you know, in-rigging something. And that's what we're doing with a lot of these products that are supposed to be better, greater, sweeter, cleaner, stronger. But actually, it's making them more money because of the advertising and destroying the body because it was not designed. It's not naturally designed to work with the creation that God created.
Absolutely, absolutely. Before you go, let's shift gears for a little bit and talk about the young lady who accused her parents of all of these things. So she's got the mom was spraying bleach in her eyes, pulling her braids out, striking her in the head with a frying pan, striking her with blue hangers. And I don't know what difference blue hangers made to just saying hangers, and striking her with a broom handle. Were you ever hit with anything, Pastor Ed, from your parents other than a belt?
All of my relatives would be up under the jail. So let's just be real. Literally. I mean that seriously. Because many times, I'm going to be honest, whatever became readily accessible became the tool of discipline in many cases. So I'm talking about cords from appliances, extension cords, brooms, wooden spoons, shoes, hangers. I've seen and felt, well, I can't really say felt at all. I mean, I got whippings, but fortunately, I didn't get disciplined as much as some of my poor cousins that were more mischievous. But I've seen it all used in my family. So, yeah, many of my relatives would be under the jail for life. Seriously.
Wow. Yeah, because a lot of people complained about being hit, you know, with a switch or an extension cord and things like that. And now, those things you go to jail for. Back then,
and I don't know about spraying the bleach, but come on, please.
Yeah, that's a bit extreme. You know, spraying the bleach in her eyes, as she's claiming. But, you
but
know,
my question is, was that really what she described? I'm not blaming the alleged victim. But, you know, sometimes kids say you did such and such, and when reality was you were dodging, avoiding, trying to fight back, and something accidentally happened, you know, like with the bleach in the eye. I don't know if that's the case, but you also have to investigate that further because, you know, kids will say whatever to protect themselves in a lot of cases, you know, and will skew the evidence. Not always, but I'm just saying.
No, and I thought about, because she's talked about being a runaway. So, you know, I looked at the other things with the, you know, being hit with a hanger or a broom handle. And my thought was also, you know, is that, I'm not saying, you know, you should be hit with a broom handle or a hanger. But, you know, again, you know, was she being disciplined for her behavior and not her behavior came from what her mother was doing? Kind of like the same thing you're saying. You know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And
right,
like you said,
right,
you know, any of this exaggerated because, you know, they also said by the time they saw her and found her, she had cut her hair off. So, you know, did that come from mom pulling it out and now, you know, she's got long braids and short braids, so I'm going to cut it all off. So like you said, you know, this has to be investigated because you don't even know what's true and what's not true, what's exaggerated, where there's some partial truth, you know. So, yeah, they're going to need to do some digging, that's for sure. You know, definitely need to do some digging.
Yep. Get all the facts and weigh them properly. Right now, in my county, we as NAACP are getting ready to sue the entire court system because CPS, since 2010, has been taking kids from their families based upon a district clerk tampering with the juries. And we found that many of those cases were cases of vindictiveness, you know, reprisal cells. So somebody has a beef with me and my family or my business, and so they file a charge that abuse has been going on. And then, you know, you're into family court, and this district clerk is, you know, working, especially when it was black children. This district clerk is corrupt, and she's stacking the juries, and the jury has already been prepped on the decision they're going to make. And so since 2010 up until this year when it was uncovered, you got all these tampered juries making decisions in cases that have destroyed families, based upon lies and false evidence or misrepresentation. So you really have to investigate.
Well, thank God somebody's on the job to do the investigating and to actually go deeper into these, you know, allegations. Ah,
well, actually, it's worse. Yeah, so you're right.
It's really good because a lot of times these things are not investigated properly. So thank God there's, you know, going to be some magnifying glass put on these things here. Well, Pastor Ed, if you have to go, you know, just make your exit during the show. If not, I'll call you if I see you on. But, you know, we pray that all is well you know, with your family. And we give God thanks for your ability to and your loyalty to be on the broadcast with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right.
All righty. All righty. Where's Pastor Charlotte? Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you this morning?
I'm okay. Thank you. I'm okay. You're over there singing, so we're giving God thanks. Giving God thanks. So wait, how many detergents have you used on this list?
Well, I used to. I was a Tide because, you know, you grew up on Tide. You start out on Tide. But I use Gain now. I don't really use a lot of these anymore. I have used quite a few of them. Quite a few.
Mm.
Ajax, you know, was one, and all. I've used quite a few of them before, but now I just really stick with Gain. I like that the best.
It's scary to think that, you know, you're using these laundry detergents that have been known to cause cancer, respiratory issues. What else are they saying here? A damage to the eyes and the skin. You know, it's not like you washing your eyeballs with the detergent. You know, it's just to think that you could inhale this stuff and you have allergic reactions on your skin and all kind of things. Just from, you know, we're trying to figure out why these kids are as ill as they are. And, you know, remember DREFT? You know, they told us to use DREFT because we couldn't find Ivory Snow after a while. But DREFT is on the list. You know, I'm like, organ failure. Imagine having organ failure from your laundry detergent. This, everything is going to kill us, Pastor Charlene.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Will we wash our clothes in? Will we eat? Will we smell? We can't do nothing. And then water, no. too, because every now and then they talk about the water, too. So it's like, what do we do? We're going to walk around stinking like we were talking about yesterday. We're going to walk around stinking. Ain't nobody going to wash their clothes. It's going to be crazy. You absolutely right. And the babies. Oh, good.
Yes, everything. And, you know, we talked about, okay, so you got a hygiene issue. So, you know, do your laundry together. Well, you'll just be dying together because the laundry going to kill you. So either you stay stinking or you do laundry. It's like, what? I could not believe when I came across the article of the laundry detergents that was toxic. And all I could think of was it had to be the Tide, the Oil, the Ivy Snow, the Woolite, you know, stuff that, again, we grew up on and things that, you know, they really pushed because they were supposed to be dye-free or fragrance-free. And that didn't even matter. What difference does it matter, Pastor Charlene, if it's fragrance-free? But it's going to give you organ failure and cancer.
Exactly. And I'm like, okay, now I got to take this list to my kids because some of this stuff here, especially the DREFT, my daughter was using it for the baby. We don't know. So we've been growing up with all of this stuff, and as time go on, here we are. Ain't that something?
Yep. Dying. So we worried about COVID. And we died from doing laundry. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So we go to the story, Pastor Charlene, of the teen girl who is accusing her mother of spraying bleach in her eyes, pulling her braids out, striking her head with a frying pan, striking her with blue hangers. Now, I'm still trying to figure out why the blue hangers make the difference, or striking her with a broom handle. Have you ever been disciplined with more than just a broom? Listen, Pastor Charlene, you can tell the story because they can't go after our parents now. There is a statute of limitation. So we can tell the story now.
Yes, yes, yes. And let me tell you the difference between the blue hanger is because that's hard plastic. It stings more than the other hanger. That's why. I done got beat with everything. Now, as far as the bleach in my eye, no. But if she was washing dishes, because you know they put a little bit of bleach in the water when they washing the dishes. And if she swung at you, so I guess, yeah, bleach went in my eye, too.
Ooh,
and I got beat with everything.
Wow. Were you a bad little girl, Pastor Charlene? Did you need to become a pastor in your life in order to make things right? Were you a bad little girl, and that's why they had to beat you with everything?
Well, you know, you wouldn't know, but my mouth always got me in trouble. You wouldn't think so, right?
Surprise, surprise.
But it was my mouth. Yeah, my mouth. And I was very rebellious growing up. So when Pastor Ed was naming all of them things, it was me. I got beat with the stench and caught anything that she had. But I was thinking, my mother, well, I remember one time I came in late, and my mother was in the kitchen washing dishes, and you remember the dry towel. She wet the end of the dry towel, and she used to rope it up, woo, 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 woo. And when I came in, I thought she wasn't in the kitchen, because the kitchen is, when you first come in the door, was the kitchen. So I had to go past the kitchen, and she popped me with that thing in my eye. And she said, well, if you was in the house, you wouldn't have got popped. So they didn't care. They didn't care. I got beat with everything, the whole tree, because I would go out there and get a little branch of it. And, oh, no, that's not good enough. She'll go get a few and get about three, wrap them up together. Oh, yeah, I got beat. Oh, yeah. And look, being light-skinned, you know, we bruise easy.
Woo, baby. Wow. But you having a small mouth does not surprise me, Pastor Sean. Doesn't surprise me at all. Doesn't surprise me. No, my goodness. Thank you for joining us, Pastor Sean. We'll be back. I know you have a question. So we're going to talk to Pastor KL for a little while. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, Pastor KL.
Hallelujah. God bless you, Pastor Seth.
Listen, you ain't got to say hallelujah because I can't beat you right now. So. you beat for you. You ain't got to worry about it. How are you today?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm well. Thank you. I'm well. All right. So, did you hear the items that were on this laundry list?
Yes, I did.
Which laundry detergent did you use?
I use anyone that was on sale.
Me too.
Whatever was on sale that week, I used. So I pretty much used every one of them. Because at some point, something was on sale.
Because I didn't go for the name brands that was on sale. See, if y'all paid attention to what I do, I just buy any old laundry detergent. And you know what? For all the people that criticized me, looky here. Your stuff is on the list and my stuff isn't.
This is what I would say. I want to know what type of kids, what type of people are we raising? I mean, because we used all this stuff and did not die. We anything
right.
happened to us, we just sneezed a couple of times and we changed detergents. Now people are at risk of dying and losing eyes and losing. I don't understand. I'm trying to figure out what kind of people are we raising. you know, I don't know.
No, it's very true. We talk all the time about how we were just well children. We didn't get sick. We did not get sick. You had maybe an occasional cold or something like that, but we weren't ill kids. We were outside. We were able to play outside. Now if somebody go underneath the sun, they're going to shrivel up. I don't understand it either.
Listen, we drank from the running hydrant outside, which dogs pissed on every day. And none of us died. You know what I mean? And we're still here to live to tell the story. We drank that pissy water.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I can't. Only you think of this stuff. Only you think of this stuff. No, but you're right. I think about, like you said, we used to hold our hand up to the fire hydrant and drink
mm-hmm.
from it. Oh. And oh my, and the water used to be white, remember?
Oh yeah.
The water was white. It had all this stuff in it. And
listen. Not only that, if anybody our age remember, we cut open a can, put it over the hydrant, and let the force blow us into the street, and we didn't get hit by no cars.
Yes,
I mean,
we used to rub the bottom of the can on the ground until the bottom of the can came off.
Right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I remember. I don't know, Pastor Mikhail. You know, these laundry detergents. I was saying, no. Do you remember when they used to put the laundry detergent in your bath water?
Yes. And then they put bleach in the dishwater.
Yes. And we're still here, as you say, to tell the story.
Mm.
Yes.
I'm still eating off the plates. I got the same plate with the bleach water.
Yes. And you think about it. I'm reading this list, and I'm like, how is it that, you know, we're not eating the clothes we wear. We're just washing
right.
Washing our clothes in these products, and we are having mm-hmm. organ failure and asthma and respiratory issues and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, but we're not eating the stuff. I don't understand.
Let me share this with you that me and my staff was talking about yesterday. We read that Coca-Cola product, it deters rust. You can put a rusty thing in a bottle in a cup of Coca-Cola, and the rust will come off. Not only that, if you pour Coca-Cola over your post in your car, it destroys the corrosion over the battery post. And we drink this kind of stuff. This stuff is strong enough to kill rust and corrosion, and we drink
wow.
it on the rock. On the rock.
Wow. Wait, let me add something to that. And they say put it in your toilet to clean the toilet.
To clean the mildew and everything. That's right.
Yep. To clean the toilet. And like you said, we're ingesting this stuff. So, you know, I don't know, Pastor K.O. I guess if we live past three, we're blessed. I don't know.
And then they say have a Coke and a smile.
You know, I tell you, when we think about all of these things and how vulnerable we are to
mm-hmm.
just life, just to just regular living, we're talking about just washing your clothes. We're not talking about, quote, unquote, endangering ourselves. We're not talking about running into the line of fire. We're not talking about any of that stuff. We're talking simply about living, just living.
Right. Right.
You know, where we're going to, somebody's questioning, you know, what are you doing washing my clothes? It's amazing. And again, it's a testament as to how God is a keeper, because, you know, you really don't imagine all of the dangerous stuff that we're using or we're doing. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, so we're talking about the young lady who, you know, it has been questionably abused. We don't, you know, that these are the allegations. And, you know, she was saying that she was, you know, sprayed with bleach. Maybe the bleach water was the bleach that we used to use to clean the food with. I don't know. Maybe mama felt it was fine. I don't know. But pulled her braids out, striking her in the head with a frying pan, striking her with blue hangers, with a broom handle. Now, Pastor Charlotte says that the blue handles is from the plastic. That's why the blue hangers are, because I'm starting to go, why blue? I don't know why blue. But
they're heavier. They're heavier than brittle.
They're what?
They're heavier. They're heavier and more sturdy. They won't break as quick.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for the two of you helping us understand that much. Well, were you hit with anything other than a belt? Like I said to Pastor Charlie, you know, the statute of limitation has passed. Parents can't go to jail. We can tell a story now.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Again, I don't know what kind of children we're growing because I don't, from my former life, I don't see abuse other than the bleach. You know, this was a regular thing for me. You know, I got beat with, listen, I think the frying pan, they created a song, Oops Upside Your Head. That was for me because I was getting hit with frying pans and shoes and all types of stuff. In fact, my stuff was so crazy. My dad used to tell me, go take a shower and come out and don't wipe off. I need you to be wet. And then I get beat with extension cords. Listen, if I didn't know my name was Toby after that, I realized it real quick.
Wow.
I got beat with a vengeance. I got beat so bad they couldn't take me to school for a week.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, wait. Were you a bad kid, Pastor?
Yes. I wasn't bad. I had challenges.
You know.
Okay.
Oh,
I don't think I was bad.
Gracious.
You know, we say there's never a problem. There's opportunities.
You know what? I can't. Well, now we see why you're so skewed in some of your thinking. Because if you got hit with, you know, oops upside your head, frying pans, and, you know, you were beat with a belt when or extension cord when you were wet, that may speak for some of the challenges you have here as an adult.
I got scars across my mind right now.
You know what? I can't.
I think I just shed a tear, just reflected.
You know what? But here's the thing. Did any of that discipline curb your behavior?
No. No.
You know?
No.
Why?
I'm just being honest. And this is how I feel, and I think some children feel the same way. You know, after a while, you just know what's coming, and you become immune to it. You know, I have one daughter who we call her my mini-me, but you keep on talking to her, she'll shut down like the deer in headlights. She'll be looking at you, but you know she ain't listening to you. She just shuts down. And I think, you know, once I knew I was in trouble, I just shut down. I just beat me and get it over with because I know what's coming, you know.
Wow.
Don't last always. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get beat for about 20 minutes. And then, you know, the older they got, you know, the less time of a beating it was because they couldn't keep up with you. You know, I didn't just stand there and get beat. You had to catch me. I had to make you work for the beat.
Wow. Amazing. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's just tiring me out listening to you. Wow. This way was tiring me out. Well, thank you all for your honesty and your candidness. We appreciate it. Pastor Charlotte, I understand you have a question today.
Yes. My question was about the pastor's wives. And since I had two that had wives, the question was, how should your wife deal with when the church all come up against you, because it's like different things that the wife, the pastor's wife, go through. And I was saying that because it was a situation. Well, I want to ask the question first, and then when you come back to me, I'll tell you the story of why it came upon.
Wow.
Is that okay? Or you want me to tell the story first?
Tell a quick story first.
Well, what happened was there was a situation where that they disagreed with what the pastor was doing, a group of people. And so a group of them had came to the pastor to have a conversation, but it went into a yelling match. And the wife was there. She just so happened to walk up to it. And so I wanted to know how would have dealt with it, because, of course, as the pastor's wife, and then you have the wife. So that was the situation. I just wanted to see how they would have dealt with it.
So who was approached, the pastor's wife or the pastor?
The pastor was approached.
And she doesn't like the way they are approaching her husband.
Right, screaming and hollering at him, yes.
Okay. Pastor Ed, how would you, expect for your wife to handle the congregation when they attack you? I'm going to use that word, when they're attacking you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we kind of... we pretty much had these discussions, and my thing was, for her to, I'm called to that position, and I know we're partners, but, let me handle those situations. Raina was very popular first lady. The kids loved her. The young ladies loved her. So my thing was, you stay out of the fray. Me and God can handle this. However, there was one instance where it got kind of out of hand, and they got to see who she really was, because she came up out of her seat and addressed her, not in a nasty manner, but very firm, and they realized, I done stepped in it. So so the answer to the question is, let me deal with that. You don't need to be stressed with some of these people who can be crazy, but they, I always pray, because they needed to know there was some crazy in there that you might be dealing with if you're not careful. So, it's my call and my responsibility. Don't take that stress and burden on yourself. Just pray. Remain very prayerful.
Okay. Pastor KL.
Yes, I'm going on the same frame as Pastor Ed. My wife, I love my wife to death, but I often say she's saved but not delivered. So she'll come out of the seat and lose her mind. So I need her to keep her mind, and keep me in my position, because I often across the put of. Pulpit, call her my pit bull, and if you come too close to me, you won't know why she's my pit bull. So I tell her, just pray. Things are going to come. They talked about Jesus, they're gonna talk about me too. Just pray, because I can't afford for her to come out of her bag.
Wow. Pastor Charlotte, you got Elder over there.
Mm-hmm.
And how mm-hmm. has it gone for the two of you?
Well, the same is just like they said. And one part that I should have stated, that if it was a woman, my case, it would be as a man stepped to me. Now, we have dealt with that, where that the man have come to get the pastor and not knowing that it was a female. So I dealt with it, and that's what I say too, far as, when it, if it gets totally out of hands, you know, like once hands start flying, you know, then that's a whole nother situation. But, you know, far as just like what they said too, you know, you just have to be able to stay prayerful and be able to stand on the ground of, you know, once you stand beside me, then they see that, you know, there's two that you have to be able to move out the way, you know, that. The reason that I have brought it was because it was a situation where that everybody started to fight. The wife wanted to fight the females, and that was the reason that I have brought it up. I have seen it where that the pastor wife done took off, you know, her hat, the earrings, you know, the whole thing like that, and wanted to fight the young lady that, well, ladies that was there. You know how we do, you make the phone call, went straight to the street, forgot all about the Lord. And, you know, make the phone call, you know, the kids come, all of that. So I just wanted to hear what everybody else was saying. I thought that it would, our cops came, all of that. So I thought that that was something that us as leaders, that we need to stress of how to deflate the situation before it got to that deep.
So what, so as a pastor, how are you handling, how are you handling the, all of the attacks? Pastor Ed, I'll start with you. How are you handling the attacks of the people?
Same thing. Very, very prayerful. Now let me just be honest with you. You know, sometimes when you have a friendly, bubbly demeanor, you know, and can be somewhat soft-spoken, people, unfortunately for them, mistake kindness for weakness. I guess that's the term. So my thing is I remain prayerful because, you know, for the most part, I know let God fight the battle. However, they know, or at least they know now, that I can be firm and that there's also a little crazy in me if it's not controlled by the Holy Spirit. So, but like I said, I'm firm. I before I respond to any situation, I really do go and pray. I try to find something in the scripture to help guide me. However, there have been some of those instances where they push the wrong buttons at the wrong time in the wrong manner. And they got the righteous indignation that can come. And that's where me and my wife being a team, Raina had to kind of like, okay, Perry, because she calls me Perry, Perry, you know. So I can tell when there's a certain tone in her voice, it means I've reached that point. So I have to extract myself from the setting, because if not, we're going to tear up some stuff. So my answer is I go to God in prayer. I remain prayerful because church folk, and I don't mean this in as a generalization. Some church folks can be crazy. And I found black church folks can be even more crazy. And sometimes, unfortunately, crazy has to meet crazy in order to balance it out and negate the crazy. So, but I remain prayerful.
Okay. Okay. Pastor Charlotte, you know, we know you have you know, you gonna set them straight. Well, how have you handled, you know, when you've had those confrontations, you know, in the church against you? I know you've talked about before, you know, when the people wanted to fight you and things like that. How do you handle, you know, what happens afterwards for you? What happens afterwards? How do you now simmer down? And how do you, you know, deflate from all of that type of treatment?
Well, now I've learned from when those things was happening. I now what I do is once I start feeling myself that it's getting out of hand, I shut the conversation down faster than I did before. Before, I was just allowing them to say, you know, and then I would say something, and I'm trying to hold myself together because, like Pastor say, crazy might jump up. So I now I have learned how to let me step away. Let me go, and we'll talk another time, because now you're raising your voice, and I don't want to raise mine, and I end the conversation. And then we can come back another time to discuss whatever the situation was. And now they look at me like, oh, I say, see, because I'm not who I used to be. I got, you know, thicker skin now, and I know how to keep this mouth, you know, because I pray to, I ask God, Lord, help me with my mouth, because I need help with that. I do, because sometimes I forget, you know, so that's what I do. I just cut it and move on and deal with it later.
Okay.
Well, let me say this. Sometimes, let me say this, though. Sometimes that conversation don't need to be dealt with later. It was just shut down, and that's it. There's nothing else. And if you don't like it, that's okay. Take it to the Lord, and you know what, you know the rest.
Can always find that. Okay. Pastor KL, you know, how have you handled any, you know, confrontation, you know, of people, you know, one person or group coming up against you?
Well, we here at the House of Crazy for Jesus, we I'm like everybody else, you know, we go in prayer. We go in prayer because I tell them, I even tell them over the pulpit, don't poke the bear. You know, don't keep poking the bear. After a while, the bear's going to come out of hibernation. You know, we run out of cheeks. You know, we keep on turning the other cheek. But you be getting to run out of cheeks. And then what you going to do after that? And some folks just come at you to get a rise. You know, some folks just come to your church not to be anything great or an addition to your church, but just to poke at you. You know, the devil is going to always come and sit in the front row and see how you respond. You know, so sometimes you just got to pray. You know, you got to shrug it off, and then you got to hold your wife. You know, I got to hold my mule because she'll come out. You know, so we sit and we pray together, and, you know, we let God fight our battles because, of course, the battle is not ours. And even in yourself, because sometimes, you know, emotionally we're hurt by things that we see or things that we hear. But you just got to pray it off. You know, you just got to pray it off. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Okay. Well, outside of the prayer thing, I want to know, how do you handle church fights? And I mean literal, physical fighting. How do you handle church fights, Pastor Charlene?
Well, I do them like I do my children. I have to go in and separate them. And it has been, one was not in the ministry with me, but the worst one that I have been a part of is where, like I said, when they had to call the cops and everybody was fighting each other. And then we had to separate, you know, pull that one over there. It was like family against family. So let me say that piece. So we had to split the families apart from each other and to get to the peace. And a lot of times they're fighting just because somebody told you to fight. And by the time you get to the end of the story, it's something that's just really stupid, you know. And so I had to be able to just to talk to them and see where's the root come from. And it's all come from because you looked at my kid wrong or you said something. And most of them are now is on Facebook because it's something that is said on Facebook. And I totally don't need to get off of that. That's
wow.
a lot of what's going on right now is because you, instead of you coming to say something to me personally, then what they'll do is they'll comment on Facebook. And you know, and then somebody else will say, oh, you need to go on Facebook and look and see what so-and-so said. And that's how mostly of what's going on right now of how it gets started. So those are the fights
wow.
that we have been breaking up.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that was your worst experience with the church fight?
The worst was the families fighting each other. Yeah, because we had to call cops, you know, the cops and all of that had to come out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, people got locked up too. Yeah, they locked up.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Pastor KL, what was, you know, the worst church fight that took place and how did you handle it?
Well, I got to admit, we had a perfect church for Christ. I've never had that situation.
This church name has changed 50 times today alone.
I've honestly never had a church fight argument issue in the church. But I would just imagine that I would probably pull the two parties together and we will go through some counseling and get to the root of it all. But I've never encountered that. I moved my church from next door to Charlotte quite a while ago because it was a bad influence on me. So I've never experienced that, so I can't speak to it.
Wow. Pastor Ed. Now, you like Pastor Charlene. Y'all always have some unique experiences. What was the worst church fight? How did you subsequently handle it?
To be honest, I've seen it in other churches, but I've been fortunate. I've never had a physical altercation church fight. No, we've never gone there yet. Never had to deal with that.
Okay.
He's in the perfect Church for Christ annex.
not physical altercation. But like I said, I've heard stories and I've seen it with I've seen it in a couple of churches, but no, I haven't had to deal with that. But I would of course we would do what is necessary to stop the physical aspects, and then I would, I would talk with the opposing parties and, you know, counsel them to a better solution for resolving whatever the root issue is.
Wow. How bad did it get that you witnessed, Pastor Ed, and what was done?
You mean in my church?
No, wherever you were and you witnessed.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's the thing. I've had leaders back and forth, you know, as far as arguing over an issue. But again, none of it ever escalated to the point where it was just ridiculous and out of hand. I just never had to deal with that. If anything, it was just the annoyance of the back and forth. And I called whatever the meeting or the discussion to order, and that was it, because we're not doing this here, period, in the house of the Lord.
And that's kind of where I'm going. You know, even if, you know, you were blessed, like Pastor KL, to not actually under your watch, but what happened in your view, and what did they do? Because not all leaders are equipped to handle that level of altercation.
Oh, no, I was a sergeant in the Army, so, you know, it ain't even a problem.
Excuse us. Oh, gosh. You know, we're talking about, you know, church folk, and, you know, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, we get it. You know, people are people. And people come from the street, into the church. And like somebody has said, you may be saved, but you're not delivered from certain things, if you want to use that saying. And a lot of stuff happens in the church that, you know, people come in and they're like, oh my God, I can't believe it's happening in the church. And they're running from the church. And the thing about it is, you're not running from work. You're not running out of other situations. You deal with all of that stuff. But when it comes to dealing with, you know, the church and church folk, it's like the end of the world. Pastor Ed, since you're on your way out, you know, why don't you speak for that? You know, how to just learn to tolerate, you know, we do know that certain things that go on in certain churches you just cannot be there for. You know, it is clear that it's time to leave. But if we're going to be running for every little thing, you'll never stop running.
No. I say stop the nonsense. Wherever there's human nature, wherever you have to deal with human beings, there's always the possibility of conflict, disagreement, any manner of things. And like you said, you don't leave your job, your home, your social club, your what have you. Come let us reason together. You know, we are imperfect beings pressing toward the mark for the prize. You know, I'm throwing a bunch of stuff together. But the point is, the house of God, the house of worship, the church is a place that we're coming to be developed and trained so that we can go out and spread the gospel. So there's not going to be perfection. Personalities, you know, let's just face it. Personalities are just what they are, and all personalities don't agree. So my thing is stop running. Be truthful. You don't want to make the commitment. Whatever myriad of things we could go down the list. But the bottom line, if God has called you and placed you in a ministry to do an assignment or work, I can never remember the author, but there's a book called The Bait of Satan. And the premise of the book is that the enemy uses offense to stop the work of the church. And I'm not trying to be insensitive, but, you know, some of these hard-headed folks, you see them out on the street and they ready to take on King Kong. They get in the church and all of a sudden they're uber sensitive and everything offensive. That, I'm going to be honest, that started getting on my nerves. You got to walk on eggshells with certain folks in church. Now, if people have mental health issues and trauma, you know, God will give you a discernment or a sensitivity as to how to deal with that. But some of these big old grown crybabies that get upset over everything and I'm going to leave the church. Well, you know what? Maybe you were never really there. And so I've learned, you know, when I was a younger pastor, it used to hurt me to my heart for someone to leave. After a while, I learned in some cases to rejoice when folks leave because God would separate. So, don't use that as an excuse. If God has called you somewhere, no devil in hell can keep you out of it if you have a commitment to the work in this. If that's your assignment or if that's the place you've been brought to be developed, you're not going to let anything separate you from it. And like I said, you mentioned there's some blatant things. Yeah. If this is not a church that is based in the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, then you need to run quickly. But if the word is there, the teaching is there, the framework of the spirit is there, stop letting all these little things offend you. Stop being crybabies. You have to get off of milk and get on meat. You have to grow up. You have to mature. And you have to tell the devil, you know, you're not going to tread upon my calling and my purpose. God placed me here, and only God can remove me. So say what you want. And like I said, I'm serious. You know, being a sergeant in the Army, stuff like that don't bother me. I have a very tough skin. you can't hurt my feelings. The saying was from some folks, Pastor Perry is a loving. He's a wonderful pastor, but please don't flip the switch.
Wow. Wow. Good stuff, Pastor Ed. Good stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank
you. Thank you so much for pressing your way here today. And we pray that your family, everything will come together.
We need much prayer in this situation, but thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a blessed one.
Y'all too. All right. Bye-bye.
Pastor Charlene. You know, everybody's so temperamental and easily bruised. And, you know, once they see, you know, people begin to act, you know, kind of humanistic, you know, everybody's so twisted. And they're ready to up and leave the church. And again, you know, if there's really, you know, it's funny because we've talked about this before. There's some blatant stuff that's right in your face that you wouldn't leave the church for, but every little thing, you know, I can't stay here. I got to go. And what would you say to those people who are experiencing that?
Well, I always tell them that, just like you said, you don't leave your job. It's like children. You know, we all live in a house, and we have parents, and all our kids are different. And we have to be able to see, you know what's going to press their button. And I always tell the people that, you know, it takes more than just the pastor to be able to help one another. Y'all have to see your brothers and sisters. When you see that they are, you know, in a state that something is going, don't wait for me to come. Go over there and help them. But don't encourage them to go to the negative side. Encourage them to listen, you know, what's going on, you know, can I be a help, maybe I need to pray with you, you know, or whatever. We have to get to the place where that, you know, you keep your eye on the Lord. That's what we're supposed to come for, to be able to worship together, to be able to encourage each other, for us to be able to help one another. You know, if you need something and I might have it, I'm able to share with you, or if I don't have it, let me go find somebody who might have it. And that, I think that will help a lot of the people that is able to come in and to see Christ for himself, of the love, of the caring. And a lot of times when we, you know, it always takes that other person to say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you should go over there and say something to her. Oh, yeah, you know, and you got somebody that's in your ear. But if they see that you're standing alone, a lot of times people not going to do all of that. They're not going to make all of that noise and, you know, either they're going to call somebody on the outside. No, help the ministry to stay where everybody is able to talk to one another, to put a pin in it and take out that ear, because ain't nothing but a bunch of ear that you're talking anyway. So take out that ear. And we have to be able to know that when, not only when it escalates, you know, Most ministries are family oriented anyway. So if my mama and my grandmama and, you know, and they done brought me there, and now something is being said just because it's my child, don't mean that you're right when you're wrong. And that's where the most of the time that I see is the key. That head person of that group, it could be a sister, it could be the mama, it could be the cousin, whoever. That person right there, that's your job, for you to go and tell your family member they're wrong. And that's what doesn't happen. And they just jump on a bandwagon, and now everybody wants to fight. That's the issue. And now we're just like Pastor Ed said, what are you here for? Why are y'all here? If this is not the place for you, you know, because a lot of times, somebody dragged me here. It's not that God spoke to them, oh, you need to come here. Okay, you might have got, somebody might have asked you to come in. But now talk to the Lord to see if this is the place, because every place is not for everybody. Every pastor is not for everybody. But while you here, this is what happens in here. This is not a fighting church. You know,
amen.
This is a
amen.
Loving church. We have to show Christ.
Amen. Yep. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Charlotte, for your contribution and your words of wisdom into Church Folk Tuesday. Thank you so much. We pray you have a blessed day.
You do the same, and you do, Pastor.
All right. Amen. Pastor K.L. You know, you being a person who hires and fires, and, you know, you get to see the regular ins and out on a daily basis. You see people's endurance on the job, people's endurance in the home, people's endurance at the PTA. the neighborhood watch committee, but they ain't got no patience for the people in the church. Why? Why is there such this major difference that you have to bail when it comes to church?
It's because of their commitment. And again, you know, as you so eloquently said, we're committed to so many other things. We're committed to people, relationships, to our job, but we're not committed to God. See, first and foremost, when you come to church, you're not coming to church for me, the pastor, you know, the first lady. You're coming to church for God. And when you're so easily able to quit or leave a relationship, then you was never committed to that relationship. If it's easy for you to leave a loved one, if it's easy for you to leave a job or leave a church, then you wasn't committed to that faith. You know, when we can just pick up because we don't like what the pastor said today because he stepped on my toes, then you wasn't committed to God. You was never committed to me, but you wasn't committed to God. I'm reminded of three people. You know, Esther said, listen, if I die, let me die, but I'm going. I'm committed to go see the king. Zacchaeus, even though he had all this money, he ran up this sycamore tree just to see who Jesus was. He was committed to meet this man. The woman with the issue of blood knew that she should not have been out there. She could have easily been killed and stoned, but she said, if I can just touch the hem of... She was committed to get to the man of God because she knew that there was something that the man of God could offer. When you are committed to Jesus, when you are committed to God, there's nothing or no one that will separate you from the love. So a lot of times we quit this thing is because we're not committed to a thing. We're not committed to God. We're not committed to Jesus. But if you get yourself committed, you know, nothing can persuade you. You know, nothing can have you go to the left when you should be at the straight and narrow. We look to the left and look to the right, and we never look to the hills for which cometh our help. So when you're committed to the Father, everything is going to work out.
Ooh, nice closing. That level of commitment. Ooh, let's see what happens in my closing, if I can piggyback off that. Good stuff, good stuff. Thank you, Pastor KL, for your words of wisdom and your contribution into Church Folk Tuesday. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. God bless you all.
All right. Blessings to you as well. Well, it comes to the top of the hour when it's time to hold hands and hold hearts and give God thanks. Oh, great, big, and wonderful God. Our God who sends us help from near and far. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for loving us so much that you decided to breathe the breath of life into our bodies. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the commitment you have to love us, the commitment you have to show us how great, big, and wonderful you are. The commitment that you have to each and every one of us, that your word says that not one of us will close our eyes without being given an opportunity to know you. Thank you, God. We thank you for our pastors today and their level of commitment, their level of dedication and understanding, and how they are allowing you to use them each and every Tuesday to bless our lives. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that they have opened up themselves so that they could walk in the will and way of your word, so that, you know, we can see what's wrong with your people, that some of those things may be even wrong with us. So we're encouraging ourselves as well So we thank you, God, for investing in us one more time and sharing all of your mysteries and wisdom and knowledge, imparting that stuff into us so we can disseminate it. We can make disciples of your people. And we pray that everyone who is listening took their notes, open up their word, follow as we go through this morning, and then as they hang up, they would be able to follow you as well, that they could walk into the church house and know their commitment. And if not, they can stay prayerful and the commitment level will grow, because we weren't always here. We took prayer. We took action. So we're thanking you for another opportunity to get it right. And we pray, God, for good health, a level of understanding. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as we come on here each and every day, that we continue to grow and we continue to move and not let anything hinder us from loving you, hinder us from being obedient, hindering us from reaching out to the next person, helping and teaching them, God. A lot of different things were said here today, God, and we're grateful that there's no, you know, or very little physical altercation in your church. And we pray, God, that you just fill it up with love and understanding and the need that the church has, that we would be able to walk up in the church and stand firm instead of just running the opposite way, finding fault with everything that has something to do with you. We'll take all kinds of garbage in relationships and on the job, and, you know, because we have an end, we have an end game, we have a goal. But our goal is to make it into the kingdom. It should be to make it into the kingdom. And we pray, God, that, you know, just like Pastor K.O. said, you know, we all reach out and hold on to the hem of the garment that belongs to your son and hold on for dear life, never letting go. Because if we let go, that could be the end for us. And we can't afford to lose the connection between you and your son and our hands, our hearts, our eyes, our ears, our spirit. Everything needs to be connected. So Lord, we ask you to just join us today like no other day to your church, to your body and to your building. Not just any old church. It's a church that belongs to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your direction. And thank you for being there. No matter when we call, you're there. You know, Jesus, we pray, amen. You know, church folks, still number one. Church folks, still number one. And, you know, I would like to say, because it lends to the reality of life and, you know, who we are and what we do and, you know, the fact that we're not perfect and the fact that here we are as leaders willing to, you know, to say, hey, this is wrong and this is how we need to do it. You know, not like those parents who feed a rotten kid and will not be honest as to how they need to be different children and how they need to improve. Unless we bring these things out to you, unless we talk to you and we're real candid to you. Yeah, we talked about church fights, because trust me when I tell you, they take place. You know, I had a conversation with someone the other day, and a person was approached about being a deacon in the church. And one of the things was that they had to be at church 2 hours early to requirements of the deacon for this particular body of Christ. That they had to be to the church 2 hours early than everyone else, 2 hours earlier. They had to be there 2 hours later than everyone else. They had to be, you know, be in charge of the finances. They had to, you know, participate in being not the church treasurer or anything like that, but be a part of the finance. Everybody had to take on, you know, a certain level of responsibility. And they had to wash the pastor's car. Yep, this is one of the responsibilities. And they had to carry a gun. Now, this is the requirement of the deacon. Now, we see the requirement of a deacon in the church, the deacon in the church in the Bible. Man, I don't see nothing about no gun. I don't see nothing about no washing of the car. Now, the ladies in the, you know, I have an exceptional congregation, and I have to say, because they really do for me. You know, the ladies take care of my hair and, you know, on a regular basis, and, you know, I never had to ask them. They just saw the need. I'm like, she ain't doing it, so we might as well do it. You know, these things have to be put on the heart of. You know, I had Surgeon Vivian build my bed. I have Kitty who cooks. I have Anika. Whenever I ask her to do, she does. You know, Shantice is my right hand. You know, it's just everybody really pitches in. And it has to come from your heart. Because you can see when people do things just because they're required to do it. You see the difference when you tell a person you have to come 2 hours earlier and you have to leave 2 hours later. You know, some people don't mind, but other people, you know, they just, it's like to tell somebody you got to, always, you know, takes on a little different reception, I should say. The point I'm trying to make is, you know, we talk about church folk because church folk are people. Church folk are the people from the street who God has drawn into the church, or you have come to the church with some ulterior motive. And people forget that, you know, you're human. And you're going to do the things that human people do. Should you? Absolutely not. But it is what it is. And church fights happen. The attack of the pastor happens. The attack of the pastor's wife happens. The attack of the deacons happens. The attack of, you know, of the ushers happens. They talk about the food and the food committee. This is something that, you know, we really need to turn our ways to God and let God mold us. And that's the problem. Because a lot of people don't, you know, they don't see anything wrong. It's the way they were brought up. They feel like they have to be this way because so-and-so or something is the way it is. And they got to talk a certain way. But let's be moldable. Regardless of your background, regardless of your own personal struggles, regardless of your own challenges, and, you know, my sins may not be your sins. You know, I don't smoke and drink, but yet there are other things that God had to correct me about. Let's be moldable. That's the point I'm trying to make. That's why I'm painting out all these pictures. Let's be moldable. You know, are you moldable when somebody says, you know, can you be the deacon? And they bring out all these things to you. Or are they just going to lay out a reasonable expectation of a deacon and let you become molded into that position and let the biblical description of a leader, a deacon, be who he or she needs to be? Are we going to, you know, expect, you know, the unexpected things? Like, I got to carry a gun. Do I want to mold my deacon into a person who is now gun-toting? How do I know that they're not already struggling with something, you know, that they're trying to make an exit from? And you putting a gun in their hand may make the difference in turning them around. We have to consider stuff like that. And that's what happens with the church fight. You know, a lot of times, you know, people are poking the bear, like they all have said. You know, you just keep on poking, thinking that, well, we're not going to step up to, you know, somewhere where God had to really put a lot of work in. And then when they actually respond, you're like, oh, my God. Or you want to fight fire with fire. A lot of stuff to be considered. Are we ready to be moldable? And that's what we need to ask ourselves. Am I ready to allow God to mold me where I can look at the expectation of being a congregant here in this body, and I can step up to the plate? Some things may be a little challenging, but for the most part, I can be who God needs me to be. You know, my leader, I can't buck up against my leader. My leader has, you know, definitely been given to me and assigned to me for who I am and the changes that I need to make and who God wants me to be. Am I going to be moldable to be a Christian person, to be a child of God? And I'm not going to be fighting and bucking up at people and, oh, you stepped on my shoe, or, oh, you stared at my grandchild too long, or, oh, you laughed when somebody got up to sing, or, no. We have a bigger expectation from God. God expects for us to be human, however, but to be Christ-like first. And that's inhuman. That's different, because, you know, the Christ we're talking about is that saintly individual. You know, the word of God says, be holy, for I am holy. So, yeah, there's an expectation there, but with the ability to be able to carry it out. So if you find that you're one who's bucking up in church, or you're unruly, and or you're a church runner, you know, as soon as something happens up in church, you got to go because you just can't be involved. Thank God. Go to the Lord. Ask God to help to mold you into the person that he needs you to be in order for you to make it into the kingdom. You need to ask God to help mold you into the person who's going to help to lead other people to Christ. Remember, that's our job, to disciple. If we're always bucking off and fighting and running from the church, then how in the world could we ever be a blessing to others? That's our goal, to be a blessing to others, okay? You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my pastor team, for joining in and giving us some of their wisdom and knowledge. Thank you for hanging out with us and joining us today. And we pray that you are not just hearers, but you are doers of God's word. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior today. Tomorrow, later, is not promised to us. And, you know, we don't want to be disturbed so easily. And giving our life to Christ really makes the difference. Until tomorrow, God says, where is wild? Wednesday. I love you.